This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I should say host, but also realtors with Oakwind Realty in downtown Vancouver. I am so excited for today because we've got one of my favorite guests, recurring guests on the show.
Yeah.
Corey Wright, he is the founder, managing broker at William Wright Commercial Real Estate Services. What else about Corey?
Top 40 under 40. He's the host of the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast.
Nominated for Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year, I think, nominee.
He's a father, an avid golfer, and an all-around good guy.
Canucks fan. Not fair weathered. No, he's an all-around, and we won't even talk Nickelback, but
no, don't even bring it up.
I'm not even bringing it up.
What we can say is he's back on to do an end of the year review. So what's going on? What happened in 2024? What were the surprises? What were the predictions that came true? Where are we at right now? And what is 2025 going to look like? It's a riveting conversation.
I always love, because Corey's always on the other side. And Corey, you know, part of the reason we partnered up with Corey to do the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast is because we used to have so much fun, and there were so many takeaways from when he used to just be on our show. And he'd come on, you know, twice a year and talk about the real estate market just in general. And such a bright guy. One thing we didn't expect is you don't always get his insight when he's being the host.
Right.
You know, he's asking questions, but it's nice to bring him back because he's such a thoughtful guy. And obviously he knows a ton about both commercial and residential real estate. So it's always a treat having him on. Can't wait to talk about where he sees the opportunities.
Yeah. And there's major, at least across North America, I've seen some posts recently about some major shifts in commercial real estate. You know, all that kind of post-COVID COVID hollowing out of some downtown cores. Is it happening in BC? Where are the plays? We get into it all. So stay tuned for that. But before we get to our talk with Corey, Adam, we have the MLA presale update.
Yeah, Matt, the MLA Newswire Weekly is a pre-sale update brought to you by the MLA Canada Advisory Team. This week, the headline is, projects with the right fit will find their buyer.
I really like this week's because I think this is really interesting. So pre-sale launch activity is expected to slow down as colder weather and the holiday season shift focus away from home buying. You know, time stamped November 26th. I think we're essentially there.
We're in the rain.
Man, some good snow too. But most presentation centers will close for the season as they do every year and reopen in the new year. And despite the broader market seeing this seasonal shift away from real estate, that is, certain recently launched programs have seen fairly strong interest from the market, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and specifically they're referring to luxury projects in prime locations that are either super well located, like great spots, or areas that have been historically underserved. So like think of like somewhere like maybe the Cambie Corridor or South Surrey, where there's a lot of demand specifically from downsizers. So people
right.
that are looking to eventually sell, but they know the area that they want to be in.
Well, and it kind of makes sense, right? Because if they're local downsizers in areas that have been underserved by multifamily, it's like, okay, there's a great project and it's in a location and we know the area well, where we know this is where we want to be. And those people aren't waiting right now. And,
yeah.
and Adam, the homes aren't cheap either. They're selling above $1,500 a square foot, which is...
Yeah, they got that boomer bank. Is that what they say?
We all wish we had it. I've never heard that before. Is that a thing?
I just made that up. I think that will stick.
I think that'll stick.
Well, we'll see. Anyways, Matt, if you like that headline and you want to hear more, subscribe to the MLA Newswire, a daily email roundup of the latest real estate news and market insights. Visit MLAcanada.com and subscribe today. And Matt, of course, we're also sponsored by SkyTrain Condo Living.
That's right, Adam. We're not sponsored by Scalena Real Estate this week. We are sponsored by SkyTrain Condo Living. Let me break it down for you. SkyTrain Condo Living over at skytraincondo.ca is the only real estate platform in Metro Vancouver that is licensed by TransLink. And really what it is we have talked to people on this program over the last decade. You know, planners, economists, developers, you name it. We always ask the same question. Where should your niece buy real estate in Metro Vancouver? The answer almost always is the same. Follow the SkyTrain lines. Be close to transit. That's the future. And SkyTrain Condo Living was born. This is basically a catalog of all new developments along SkyTrain lines and in close proximity to SkyTrains. It's a super useful resource for anyone either looking for themselves or to invest in real estate in Vancouver.
Yeah, Matt. So head over to skytraincondo.ca and sign up to be the first to know about SkyTrain Condo friendly real estate opportunities. Matt, and without further ado, why don't we cut to our conversation with Corey Wright?
Absolutely. This is a great one. Enjoy.
This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.com.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
Okay, so we're here with Corey Wright. He is the managing broker, founder of William Wright Commercial Real Estate Services and co-host of the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast, the brains behind the show. Corey, how you doing?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, no, I was going to say five-timer or something like that, but you've been on the show a number of times.
Every year we check in on the Commercial Real Estate Podcast and your mustache, which you've been growing now for 5 years. I'm trying to see it.
I haven't shaved since puberty. It's still not coming through.
Is this a Movember?
This is Movember 2022 and it's still not in.
for anyone listening at home, Adam asked if you were growing a mustache and you are for Movember, but we're literally 26 days in and you can hardly see it, which is unbelievable.
You can't. Well, that's what happens.
Corey and I have the same.
It's like I have complexion. I look like a pumpkin all year long. And then I've got orange hair. So I look like a walking Oompa Loompa with a mustache.
You look great. So Corey, can you maybe for our listeners that haven't heard you on the show before, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So I'm with William Wright Commercial. We started it, 12 years ago now. Small little office, no windows at the time. And the only place I would probably accept my advance, my credit card as a deposit. And we just worked our butt off, and now we've got seven offices throughout the province. Probably a team of, including administration, everyone, probably pushing around 50 people now, maybe just over. So great group of individuals. Been very successful as a company. We've been very fortunate. We've got a lot of national and international recognition for what we do as a company, and we've got the best group of individuals in the business, and couldn't be happier.
I've watched it since day dot, and it's an impressive 12 years.
Great people. That's the secret to it. Hire great people and work hard as a team.
Well, Corey, you know, we wanted to have you back on for any number of reasons, but one is because you have offices all around the province. I'm trying to think of somebody who's understands British Columbia commercial real estate the way you do. And I think there's very few people. So wanted to start with a softball. How's the market?
You know, again, this may sound very biased, but we're really busy and we've been fairly busy this whole year. I don't know if everyone can say the same. And the reason why I say that, because I know as a company, we push, regardless to how the market is. So it kind of almost like the Gary Keller thing from Keller Williams was kind of like, if you're maintaining pace while others are losing, you're actually gaining, getting further ahead. So we've actually managed to stay fairly busy across the board. And I think also having 7 different offices, when one office is busier than another, so one asset class is busier than another. So it kind of all balances itself out as we go. So we don't really get too many highs and too many lows in the soft markets. I'd probably say about June-ish, when we kind of had rates kind of like plateau and finally started to come off a bit, we really felt it pick up. And one thing right now that will date stamp this is November 26th. We haven't seen it slow down. It feels like it's picking up week over week over week. So as we head into the holidays, it's a really good sign for our marketplace. The one thing I'm really surprised with is just how many deals are going under contract. Usually, naturally, you're going to see listings start to come to expiry in November and December. But the fact that we have so many deals going under contract, whether they're for lease deals or development land deals, I think is a really good sign for the marketplace. Because a lot of people typically don't want to be dealing with subjects and banks and all that stuff during the holiday season. But right now, we're seeing a massive influx of transactions go under contract, go firm, not just go under contract, but die, but go firm. So all good indications heading into 2025.
Corey, a couple of things that I know that you guys are doing. One is you're diversifying geographically, and you cover a lot of different asset classes. So can you talk maybe about, first of all, you know, does the diversity in the geography help? Like, are there certain hot spots right now in terms of just BC in general?
Yeah, well, I think also what we've seen over the past year and maybe the year before that as well, is interest rates got higher. People who did want to invest were looking for higher yields or higher cap rates. And a lot of times you can find those opportunities more maybe in a via Vancouver Island market or the BC interior market, more so you'd find down here. So having a bird's eye view of kind of how the different offices are doing with the different asset classes at different times throughout the year, I think it's fair to say we saw a pretty large shift of interest from investors that were maybe look into Vancouver Island or look into the BC interior, now have those conversations because they're chasing higher yield. I think that's also opened up those markets because people that maybe wouldn't consider them before now kind of realize just how great of markets they are. And in our business, we've always tend to suffer from lack of good inventory with it. So when you have good inventory, even in a challenging market, in the right market, things tend to move, and we're still moving at a pace probably a lot quicker than a lot of people probably thought. Deals did take more time to get done, obviously, but banks were a little bit trickier to work with, but good assets and good markets were selling. And we saw a large shift of a lot of those good assets that were selling were on the Vancouver Island markets and the BC interior markets, maybe not so much in the greater Vancouver market that you once would have saw maybe 5 years earlier.
If you were selling a property right now, if you could choose one market and one asset class, you wanted it to move pretty quick, what would you choose?
I think from a safety standpoint, also looking at what lenders are comfortable with, I think beds and sheds is still that concept, which is industrial and the multifamily side. If you're looking for like liquidity, a secondary market, just because the buyer pool is going to probably be a little bit larger and the lender pool is going to be a little bit larger. Some people don't realize when you go into some of these smaller communities, say 25,000 people or under, you're really subject just to like the local credit unions, more or less, that will really lend into those markets. A lot of the Schedule I banks may not be as comfortable unless there's a large history, either with the property itself or maybe with the borrower. So when you're going into some of these smaller markets, the lending pool, especially in the times we're coming out of, has been super, super important. So to create liquidity, I think I'd have to say industrial product or maybe a multifamily product in a secondary tertiary market would be the ones that you'd create the most amount of liquidity in today's world.
Given the fact that the economy is suffering right now and a lot of companies seem to be shrinking their footprint when it comes to industrial space, how is the industrial? Because the industrial has always kind of been the charging the market in a lot of ways. Can you talk about the industrial market and where we're at now compared to, say, call it 5 years ago?
Well, it depends on what report you read. You'll read reports like, oh, the industrial market vacancy has quadrupled, which that's true. But the quadrupling from 1 to 4 isn't that scary. And that's kind of where we were. And I think what you're going to find is obviously the absorption of the existing product hasn't been as good as it once was. And I think that's kind of twofold. I think the smaller bay, industrial grade level loading door, probably, you know, front loading, probably 3,000 to 2,500 square feet or under is probably the toughest product in the market to sell right now, mainly because that has the largest buyer pool of owner occupiers to investors. So if I'm a buyer of those type of things, now I'm having to pay $600 or $700 a foot for maybe Greater Vancouver product, $500 plus for Fraser Valley product. And today's interest rates, that's a lot for an owner occupier to take on. So I think that's been slow moving with it. I think that will change, obviously, as interest rates come down. But where I think the big opportunity is going to exist is everything probably in 2023 and arguably 2024 maybe got either delayed, some maybe got shelved. There's obviously stuff getting built, but probably not at the pace that we saw years earlier. So as the market, I think, shifts into 2025, interest rates do come down. I think you're going to have a bigger buyer pool for that small bay owner occupier model. But fast forward to the end of 2025 and maybe 2026, if the existing inventory does get absorbed, you're going to find that there's going to be probably an inventory problem we're going to have for 12 or 16 months because nothing's really been getting built enough to kind of go. And I think on top of that, some of the larger stuff that's come available is right now we're sitting here 2024 heading 2025. If I go back 3 years, I was in COVID. And at that time, some of these larger warehouses were getting leased at unreal prices because there was so much product that people had to bring over and store because they didn't know when they're going to get the next shipment. There were supply chain issues. You had people like with PPE that were buying every mask they could find to store. So you had a whole bunch of that that obviously isn't maybe going to be as needed as much now as it was 3 years ago. That's now coming back to the market where now it's not getting leased at $23 a foot. It's up for $19 a foot. So some people might look at that like, oh, the market's softening. Well, you can make an argument 5 years earlier that $19 a foot product today was might have been leasing at $12 a foot. So when you look at it on a percentage basis, it's still got a lot to go. It's still a massive gain in that retrospect. But on top of that, as we need housing, and when you look around areas that cities will look at to create new OCPs, is industrial land is a really, really good target because you got industrial land that sits along transit, that sits along the SkyTrain. But also if there's a 10,000 or 20,000 or 30,000 square foot site that may have a whole bunch of trucks parked on it and employs three people, you could take that and you might be able to put 300 to 400 people on there in new homes. So when they're looking to create new opportunities for housing, industrial areas can become a good target. You're seeing a lot of that stuff, like in the Brentwood area. There's a lot of industrial there around the Brentwood area that's all got greater and higher uses for now. If you go up through, you go down Lougheed and you get towards like Gamma and the old Saputo plant, that stuff's all got rezoned for housing and towers. So you're going to get a combination of kind of like the absorption of the existing product, I think will start to pick up. You'll have a supply issue that's going to kick in 12 to 16 months because stuff that's not getting built in 2023, 2024. And you go one step further, the industrial land is actually getting absorbed for other reasons than industrial, which is going to create a supply crunch. And I remember when we were at a thing in Nanaimo, and I can't remember if it was 2030 or 2040. It was a big, obviously 10 years is a big time, a big gap in there. But either in 2030 or 2040, the city of Nanaimo was predicting they're going to run out of industrial land based on the current absorption that they had of it. They were going to have any left that wasn't already developed for industrial purposes. So they were looking at like, can we do land swap with the ALR to create more industrial opportunity? Because we're going to need that. And when you get some of these secondary tertiary markets, like a Kamloops as an example, you know, industrial employers are probably some of the bigger employers in town. And I mean, there's going to be stuff with that as we see a greater shift of people into these communities. That land is going to become more and more valuable. And there's not really a lot of it to speak of. So I think, you know, in a long roundabout 10-minute answer there for you, I think that's going to be a very, very good marketplace to be get back into it. Now, I caveat, you're not going to get like $300 a foot deals going to like $900 a foot. I don't think you're going to see that type of run-up. But I'll be the first to say, you fast forward over the next decade, I think we'll be in a market of like $1,000 industrial prices somewhere. Because the tide raises all boats. Developers are paying a premium for land. Construction prices are still quite high. No matter how good you think the interest rates are, they're still really high relative to where they were. The developers can't really deliver the product at a whole lot cheaper than they probably are now. So if you buy something that's close to a new construction project, that you buy it for $550 a foot and the new construction project closes at $750, you may not be $750, but you're going to get brought up with the tide there. As those deals close and those ones future transact, at a higher price per foot, that you'll kind of get that ride that wave as well. So I do think there'll be a big demand for industrial again over the next 5 years. And I think the existing inventory will get absorbed at a faster pace than it is right now.
And are there deals right now on industrial?
Hard to say. I think from a developer standpoint, you're probably seeing more incentives right now than maybe you'll probably see in springtime. A lot of them have been sitting on land for a while, or they've been, if they're building product because they're driven by what they call IRR or internal rate of return, which a lot of these developers and investors are driven by on the development side, that they're building product and they need to move product. And I think one of the worst things a developer can run into is like their post-deliverable product that sits. So if I'm done June 1st and I have everything sold out, I'm great. But if I'm done June 1st and I got 15 or 20% of my inventory left that may take 6 months or a year to cycle through, every month the profits to that limited partnership just fall a little bit, little bit, little bit. Interest payments, property tax, strata costs. So that's why I think you're finding stuff that is getting built or either getting built now or the decisions made to build it, you're probably finding greater incentives now than you may see in spring of 2025. On new construction, that is.
So is that, this is usually something we save for closer to the end, but is that the buy right now, industrial and new construction or something fairly new? Like if you were, of anything you could purchase, that's the opportunity?
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet. I still think retail, like we said, heading into 2024, that we thought retail was going to have a really big rebound, and that's happened. So I think people that got into retail a year ago have probably felt really, really secure with their investment moving forward. I still think there's lots of good opportunity in retail, but I think if you want kind of like a combination of safe play with upside, industrial is the way to go. I think if you could get a good deal on a new construction product as an investor, it may be worth it, but it's kind of tough sometimes because a lot of the new construction products are tailored towards owner-occupiers. So I would go find a Class B asset that's like two blocks away from the brand new sexy concrete going up, tilt up, and go buy it. And you're probably going to be $150 a foot, maybe more off that price. Then you're just going to ride that wave. And a good example is like if you go into this example I tell everyone, like down here, I remember there was transactions that were in like the 500, 550 a foot range that was getting like $18 to $19 a foot on the lease side. Well, you could go to Kelowna in the right market and buy a Class B building at probably $250 a foot and get $18 a foot on the lease side. So you're getting just as a good return, if not better. And the vacancy rates in those markets are very similar. And that's one thing you want to make sure you don't trade, is you don't pay for your own risk. If I go up to Kelowna, I look to try to get in the industrial market and it's a 17% vacancy and my tenants are paying $6 and I ask them to pay 14, they're just going to drive down the street. So if you can find markets that have really, really low vacancy rates, I think there's some great opportunity in some of these secondary markets when it comes to it. I think it's a safe play right now.
Corey, when you're thinking about tertiary markets and specifically retail, what are you considering? Like what gets you excited about an area?
When you go into some of these secondary markets, location, location, location is more important there than anywhere. And if you miss it by a block or two in some of these sets, so you might be dark for a year. Plus, they don't have the backfilling effect for tenancies, as we see down here in the Lower Mainland. And a lot of people forget that when they go up to these markets and they see a vacant thing, they're just like, oh, someone's going to lease it out. And it may take a year, 2 years to lease out. That's a zero cap rate if it's empty. You got to service that debt so it can become a very expensive with your CapEx and post-closing costs. So I, when we go into these secondary markets, location, 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 I think is everything, is really important. And then also one thing I think you can capitalize on secondary markets, may not find as lucrative down here, is you can get bigger lots. You might get a 6,000 square foot building on a 30,000 square foot lot, which down here, you might get that 6,000 square foot building on a 15,000 square foot lot or 18,000 square foot lot. So if you're getting a better cap rate, you can potentially have very similar vacancy rates depending on the markets you're going into, but I get more land. That always creates a greater exit down the road. Because if you look at what's happening down here, when you look at all these shopping centers that are having to create, like recreate themselves, all these parking lots are turning into different things now, a lot of them into the developing side of things. So I'm not saying when you're buying something in Nanaimo or Victoria, it's going to be a development site in the future. But if I can get above average returns with very similar vacancy rates, but I might have a potential development exit, I'll take that game all day long.
What about though, like, are you looking at population growth and are you considering, because I'm guessing right now with the growth that we've seen in some markets, like on the island and in the Okanagan, for example, I'm guessing the retail that was servicing these locations, like has it changed dramatically? Like, are we seeing the retail match the population growth?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you go back years ago, when you're dealing with larger tenants or big box tenants or AAA tenants, whatever you want to refer to them as, maybe Nanaimo wasn't part of their conversation necessarily. And now when you fast forward, you look at markets like Nanaimo and Kamloops, which are both over that 100,000 square foot threshold now that have above average population growth versus the national population growth, is these tenants now have these questions about it. And I think when you look at affordability issues in housing, the demographics of some of these people are changing. Like Victoria was always like newlywed, newly dead, and now, or nearly dead, sorry. And now it's you got so many sectors now that I
think you might have said newly dead. Did you say newly dead? They're out of the market.
So you have markets like Victoria, which at one point in time was a government city. And now you have so many thriving industries. You have government, obviously, which still anchors it, but now you've got tourism, you've got construction, you've got medical, you've got education. So all these things are compiling more population into these areas, which these areas don't have a lot of retail maybe to start with. So it's putting greater pressure on those retail places, which is just driving up lease rates because demand's higher. And now you've got tenants who aren't in the marketplace that want to get in the marketplace, which is backfill something and drives demand. Versus some smaller communities, you might be more subject to an existing tenant somewhere else in Kamloops relocating into Kamloops, which then fills one vacancy, but then leaves another one. So your net gain on the vacancy is probably like a wash with it. But now you're getting more tenants that are now having these conversations. Tell us more about Kamloops. You have more and more of these larger scale tenants that are now getting into these areas. And like Vernon, of all places, has a cactus club now. So you got so many of these tenants now that are going to these smaller communities, which is driving up demand for retail, which obviously from a landlord perspective is the best thing you can have. The other thing, I think one thing that's really important when you look into these smaller communities, what they call buying below replacement cost value. So if I'm, for example, buying an office building in Nanaimo and I'm buying it as a resale for $5 million, but the replacement cost value on $7, $8, or $9 million with today's construction costs, you can kind of secure these assets. You're not going to have more competition in these marketplaces as quickly as you may find in other markets, because no one's going to buy the land and then build it for $10 million and have like a one cap rate on it.
Corey, I think some people out there are probably, you know, have kind of been thinking about commercial real estate over the last couple of years. So it sounds like it's been a busier 2024. And as we get to, you know, the end of the year and lower interest rates, and it seems like we're, you know, kind of getting out of the woods there. Things are picking up. Can you talk a little bit about, and this is maybe too broad of a question, but can you talk a little bit about what's happened in pricing across the region over the last couple of years? Like what's going on with cap rates and what's going on with pricing, and where are we at now in relation to, say, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years ago?
Definitely you can make the argument, not the argument, you can definitely say for no doubt that pricing has come off. Like cap rates have had to readjust themselves. When we go back to COVID and you were finding like 3.5 cap rates in Chilliwack, it just didn't make any sense. And the reason why those cap rates were so aggressive is because lending was so cheap that you could pay a lot more and still cash flow it, because you could get 75% loan to value on assets you couldn't a couple of years earlier. So cap rates have had to readjust. I don't necessarily know that's impacted pricing as much as someone might think. And when I say cap rates had to readjust, because someone lists or something at a 4 cap rate doesn't mean that's what the market is. That product might sit for a while. But things that are moving and are transacting are probably transacting at a higher cap rate, mainly because a lot of like institutional type investors try to get a cap rate of 150 basis points over their interest rate, which just hasn't been achievable for the past couple of years. So things that have transacted have had to come off their traditional high or low cap rate, I guess, high prices, to make it make sense. And on top of that, you can also look at a lot of investors. Well, if I can get, at this time, maybe I can get a GIC at a bank at 5% or higher, why would I want to take on the risk of being a landlord in that same capacity? Because being a landlord is great, but there's costs that come with being a landlord, such as maybe you have vacancy or tenants can't pay, or you've got capital improvement costs. So as you're starting to see the returns at the bank start to go less and less and less for investors, that's put more people back into the commercial real estate side of things moving forward, which I think will just, you know, generate the buzz in our industry and push us into a really, really solid 2025.
Corey, what's your take on the maybe the best investment or the most maybe emerging market in, first of all, the province and then the Lower Mainland?
In the province, I still like Nanaimo. And why I like Nanaimo is because you still have above average population growth. You have a trade area. It's probably approaching 150,000 people in the trade area in the community of over 106,000, I think, right now. You've got record-setting building permit after building permit after building permit for the last three consecutive years. The absorption of that is still really, really good. But one reason why I like it is you can still find a lot of these legacy leases in there where you might have tenants coming off of a five-year lease term that may be dramatically less than where they're going to be. Maybe they're $15 a foot and that area is now getting $30 a foot. So you still have a lot of opportunity in those markets. But again, it's select inventory. You've got to know what you're buying. Location, location, location is so important. So I'd say Nanaimo would still probably be my pick in the province with it. I also to a caveat to that, there's a lot of lenders that like Nanaimo. So you're not going to be getting really horrible debt opportunity options going in there. And then from the Lower Mainland, I really think Chilliwack is a big market that's changing dramatically. And when you look at, lease rates in Chilliwack, some of these great lease rates along Better and all that stuff, like they're equal to or better than more expensive than those you'll find like in parts of Abbotsford or maybe even parts of Langley for that matter. So I still really think Chilliwack's a really, really good opportunity. I think industrial in Chilliwack's a really, really good opportunity because I think you're finding a lot more businesses from a logistical standpoint that if they can go up to Coquihalla or into Alberta or up through the Caribou regions, like to centralize in Chilliwack versus in Mission or even Abbotsford and the extra trek is so, I think, can be a big cost savings to the business. So I really think a market like Chilliwack is a really, really good opportunity. But again, it's a smaller market. And Chilliwack 10 years ago probably felt like its own country when you're trying to describe it to potential retailers and tenants because no one knew where it was. You'd pass Abbotsford and there's nothing for 20 minutes and all of a sudden this community pops up. And now you've got every big box store and all that stuff trying to get into that community there now. So I think Chilliwack would be my pick for the Lower Mainland. I think I would stay in retail or industrial if I went into that market with probably a Lower Mainland B option would probably be Abbotsford. Again, similar type metrics to it. Province-wide, I'm going to stick with Nanaimo for now.
The flip side to that, Corey, is, you know, the landscape has changed dramatically since COVID, as we've discussed on this episode and others. Where is somewhere that you, I guess I was going to say historically would have been interested in, but let's even just scrap that. Where is somewhere that might be a surprising stay away from this market? Maybe in BC and in Metro Vancouver that people might think, hey, this is might be a good opportunity, but it's like, nah, this is an area I'm not keen on.
Well, I think I look at it from an investment standpoint is if I look at it, where is my opportunity for growth and growth as in like lease rates and opportunities that way? You might look at a market like say Coquitlam or Burnaby, where you might make an argument in some areas, like the rates have crested and maybe come off in some markets. So if I'm buying something today, in a market that maybe the tenant's paying $50 or $45 or $65, you know, you'd like to think in the future that I'm going to get more than that, but maybe you're going to have to renew similar to what you have. So you don't really have that opportunity to kind of get a lift on the equity position of your asset versus maybe a market like Nanaimo where a tenant's paying $6 and they're renewing at $12. There's a lot of lift there. So markets down here that I might be not as optimistic with, just purely from investment, not that they're bad markets. Maybe like a Burnaby or a Coquitlam marketplace where you've got rates that have obviously seen a really, really good run-up that now may not have those future run-up as much as it was before. That stuff there, I'd just be a little cognizant of because I think for the same amount of money, if I can go into a market that I have a great opportunity for lift in, I would probably take the Vancouver Island markets more so than down here. The trade-off is, the markets down here, you're getting much better liquidity in them if in the event you ever had to exit. So that's something you do want to take into consideration if it's something that's maybe more short to medium term versus medium to long term. You'll always have greater liquidity in the Lower Mainland than you will in some of the secondary markets.
And Corey, of course, as you know, we have a segment called the Five Wire, five lighthearted questions that we end every show with. Can you stick around for that?
Absolutely. My favorite part of the show.
The Six Pack is powered by our good friends over at Redpoint Law.
Redpoint Law, Corey, Tim, Falco, Scott, and the team. These are great people with a wealth of experience when it comes to commercial closings and private lending. And I just want to say, Corey, not to cut you off, they have a perfect 5-star review on Google.
So for all your commercial legal needs, visit them at redpointlaw.ca with offices in Vancouver and now open in downtown Kelowna.
Okay, Corey, so question number one, one book that you've read recently that you'd recommend?
I'm right in the 2/3 of the way through this book, Never Enough, Barista to Billionaire. It's a book by a gentleman named Andrew Wilkinson, who is a billionaire from Vancouver Island that made his money through the tech industry, and how he goes on and they do this. They have a company, believe it or not, called Tiny. I believe it's called Tiny Capital, I think is what it is. And they make various investments, and it's a really interesting read. So I'm about 2/3 of the way through. So that one's got my attention right now.
That's a good one.
Great
local,
one.
Local guy made good. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like so far.
Yeah. In the last few years, all I can think of is Peloton, but maybe in the last few years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Jeez. Here's one that would, believe it or not, it's not going to be related to my Peloton or my new pedals that seem to come in every 3 or 4 months if I break them. As I get older, I try not to dwell on things as much as I did when I was younger. So I was reading this or I was told this, but if it's not going to affect your life in 2 years, don't spend more than 2 minutes worrying about it. So again, trying to like prioritize more of the situations. So when I'm going through the grind of the day, I'm trying to prioritize problems and I try to use that as part of my philosophy now to not let things dwell or I'm not tossing and turning at 2 in the morning while I can't sleep over a situation.
Sorry, the line is, if it's not going to impact your life in 2 years, don't spend more than 2 minutes on it.
Don't spend more than 2 minutes worrying about it, meaning that if it's a serious problem and it's going to have grave impact on your business, take the time to figure it out. If it's kind of signs when you're in the moment and it feels like it's a really big problem, but then when you actually look at it on a much bigger scale, you realize it's not going to be nearly as big as you're making it. Try not to spend as much time worrying about it and focus your time and prioritize your time on bigger situations.
Yeah, we just kind of covered that before we jumped on this call. Don't sweat the small things.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like if you do sweat the small things.
That's a useful framework though, right? Like the 2 years, yeah. 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to get it imprinted on the wall of the podcast studio there for you guys. Or when you come in, you can see it. Right next to the Chad Kroger sign poster. Nickelback.
Yeah. Question number 3. What have you been binge watching lately, or a movie recommendation?
Oh, this is going to sound really bad. And this is almost going to, I'm still watching. I think like years later, I'm still binge watching Suits. I think I watched series 1 to 9 and then I just start all over again and all over again and all over again. There's not a lot of good TV at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning if you don't want to buy the shark vacuum. So I watch a lot of Suits, but I'm very excited to say I was reading they're now bringing Suits back called Suits LA. So it's because like the original Suits was New York based. This is going to be LA based. And I was really hoping that they would incorporate some of the former characters into it to try to like bring the viewers over. Pretty much like we do with the podcast, right? We just went and ripped off your podcast, brought you guys on and sucked all the viewers over to the commercial side. Similar idea. So Harvey Specter is going to apparently be in this one. So there will be some relation to the old Suits and the new Suits. So that's I'm really excited for.
Is it true that you've modeled your whole life and career after Harvey Specter? Is that...
recognize that picture? Same when
we're
you
not,
find...
We're here.
You can't see it?
I'm describing it. I'm describing it to the listeners.
That's the same picture you're going to find in Harvey Specter's office. Yeah, same one.
Some might say obsessed.
Yeah, it's the same picture you're going to find. I'll be honest with you. So Heather Miller, I believe, is the original artist. And this is going to sound very obsessive now, is there was one original print that was a 36 by 36 on canvas original print that apparently when they were filming Suits in Toronto, a set designer had gone in and bought this picture, which probably had really no meaning at the time, but they've created meaning throughout the show that Harvey's mom painted this picture for him. That's why it was so sentimental. So we actually tracked down the original store that sold the print to try to find out who actually bought it from the show. And then we were actually trying to track down the production company behind the show to find out where the picture went because we wanted to buy it. And I don't know if it's at an auction or if it's in some actor's house. So right now we're settling for a $250 copy print in a frame for it. But we are on the hunt for the original. So if anyone knows where the original is or if it's going to go to auction somewhere, let us know because we're out to find it. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, if you know the picture when you see it. Like a cult following. I get the odd person that comes in and they point to the picture and they're like, that's from Suits. I'm like, you're hired.
We can skip. I think we can skip question four, Matt.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking or pulling an audible from Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. Corey, you're notoriously a big partier.
Absolutely. It's, you come with the bags into my eyes.
I was going to say, it's
in bed by 8 p.m.
Yeah, it's 7:45. You're ducking out. You're Irish goodbying everybody at the bar. Before you leave, what are you karaokeing?
Oh, geez. It's probably no shocker. I'm at the Rockstar by Nickelback.
Oh, I was trying to get away from Nickelback. Okay.
Rockstar by Nickelback. But if you want me to give you a second typical answer, depending on how many glasses of wine I've had, maybe Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks.
Oh.
Yeah, because that one, when I start singing it, everybody's going to join in. They're going to drown out this voice. I can't carry a note in a bucket if my life depended on it.
I'm more of a Chris Gaines fan myself. Last question. Something you've purchased for under $1,500 that's changed your life or had a positive impact on your life?
My brand new Peloton pedal. Because now I can get back on that Peloton after I broke it. So I'd say the Peloton pedal has been most successful purchase as of late.
How can people find out more about William Wright and, of course, what you're up to, Corey?
Absolutely. They can reach us anytime in our Vancouver office, 604-428-5255. You can visit our website, williamwright.ca, sign up for the latest and greatest. Or you can send me an email, corey@williamwright.ca. Always love hearing from listeners and all that stuff. Always happy to get back to people as best as quickly as I can.
And if you like that overview and you're not listening to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast, do yourself a favor and start listening. Also available wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your time, Corey. That was,
thanks,
good
Corey.
Great as always. And we'll see you on the other side.
Thanks for having me.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Corey Wright from William Wright Commercial.
Always a great time having Corey on the program. Very knowledgeable guy and always a few great takeaways as well.
Yeah, there was a ton there. I feel like I might listen to that one twice because, you know, it's complicated stuff. Yeah, Corey's talking very fast. He's a very whip smart guy. So tons of takeaways there. You know, the immediate takeaway, if it's not impacting your life in 2 years, don't take more than 2 minutes. I like that because we were kind of talking about something similar. And I think my words of wisdom was don't sweat the small stuff, which doesn't really give you a rule the way that 2 years, 2 minutes does. Pretty good.
One thing that would not be impacting either my life or Corey's life in 2 years is if we tried to grow a mustache starting now.
It was shocking.
It still wouldn't be there. So I think we're both in the same boat there. Fair hair. So anyways, but yeah, don't sweat the small stuff. Great advice. What else do we got before we cut for the day?
What else do we have? We have VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com for all things real estate related, including Corey's Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. You can also sign up for the LiveWire. That's our weekly mailer where you're getting VIP access to pre-sales. You're getting the back catalog, the catalog, the new shows coming out, the deal of the month. There's basically no reason, stats, different types of stats. I'm losing my mind here. Sales ratios where you can dig into different price bands in different neighborhoods across Metro Vancouver. There's basically no reason why you shouldn't be on the LiveWire. And of course, we also have tried and true private client services.
Yeah, Matt. And if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information for free. It's available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. What a time to be getting set up to monitor the market. We're heading into the holidays, but we have a feeling that the activity is going to pick up even more so in January. So we'll see. Usually there's a bit of a Christmas hangover and by about second or third week of January, the market starts firing up again. So
in all facets of your life, if you're a well-organized individual, you're generally taking this time of the year to plan for 2025.
Yeah.
And there's no better way to plan if you have any real estate goals or even if you just want to monitor a market than get a PCS account.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com and just click buy with us and you can set up your own free account. Matt, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do so?
They can do so at any time. It's 778-847-2854 or Matt at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or Adam at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
We also got that Kokomo line, info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Well, have a great week. And we're back with another couple amazing episodes before the end of the year. 2024 almost wrapped up here. Can't believe it.
Unbelievable. Well, have a great week, everyone. And we'll be back.
Take care. We'll see you next week.
Subscribe today.